إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters, we continue with the series on challenges of parenting in the 21st century. And I remind myself and you today of the challenge of being and remaining relevant. But today I want to talk about the challenge of remaining relevant. Now, relevance has, sometimes we feel that being relevant means that it is to do only with technology. That's not true. Technology is one part of it, but you don't necessarily, people have two hands and 2 feet, and some people have 2 hands, 2 feet and an iPad. So that is not required. It's not required to know the latest buzzwords, or some people have 2 hands, 2 feet and an iPhone. But that is not necessary to do that. It's also not necessary to know all the buzzwords and so on and so forth. Remaining relevant has to do with being aware of and giving a sense of trust and a sense of comfort to the children that you know their world. Now, those of you who are in consulting, you know that this is the number one critical requirement in getting a consulting assignment, especially in leadership development consulting and management consulting, which I do. The number one requirement is to ensure that your client has a sense of comfort with you with regard to his culture and with regard to his environment. The client must feel that you know his business at least as well as he knows it himself. And if you can give the impression, when I say give the impression, I don't mean you are deceiving anybody, there's no deception involved, meaning that you have to show this, that you should actually know the business better than the client. Otherwise, how are you advising him? On what basis? So, relevance has to do with that. Yesterday we talked about relatedness. Relevance has to do with giving your children the impression that they must have the trust that my parents know my world as well as I do. Now, my world, as I said, it's not only, you know, which version of smartphone or which version of software on the smartphone. It is to do with their world, as in hopes and aspirations, fears and apprehensions, career options, what kind of world they go, what sort of challenges they face. Challenges are material challenges, which are the easiest ones to deal with, are material, because you can buy the stuff. But others, emotional challenges, for example. What happens when they are, especially, most of our children go to co-ed schools and colleges, right? Even if your son becomes the world's greatest expert on soils, still he's going to see something. Then what happens to him? So the point is, you can't tell him, keep your eyes lowered all the time. He'll walk into a lamppost or something. I mean, there's a limit to what you can do in today's day and age. So what happens to him at that time? Same thing with your daughters. I mean, the daughters are not immune to this either. So there is a limit. There is a limit to the amount of protection you can give them. You should give them protection. I am not one of those who says that you should not protect. You should protect them as far as possible. Protect them. Environment makes a huge difference. So the kind of company you keep, the kind of people you meet, the kind of home you have, who you go to and who you don't go to, all of this makes a big difference. But despite all that, there's no way of, you know, sealing them from all external environment. It's not possible, it's not even desirable. So how do you help them deal with that? So therefore, you have to know their world. And there again is the challenge, which is, how will you know their world? You can't go and hang out with 19-year-olds and 16-year-olds. That's obviously not possible. So what do you do? How do you do that? One is through reading. The internet is a huge resource, and if you read different things on the internet, you have an idea of what's going on in the world. Second thing is the time to meet their friends. And the best way of meeting their friends is to invite them home. Because that serves two purposes. One is it you get to meet the friends, and secondly, your children get to see the friends in the environment of your home. And I've always said that the greatest protection you can give your children is to have a home environment which they can use as a benchmark to judge everybody else. So my friend in school, my friend in college, is this person someone who is worthy of hanging out with? Is this person someone whose influence I should take in my life? How will I know? Bring him home, bring her home. Then in your home environment, this friend stands out. Is this friend somebody who fits into your home environment is an environment, inshallah, of the itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In that environment, does this friend fit? Now, the friend might be a non-Muslim, but they would still fit in terms of their decency, in terms of their culture, in terms of their behavior, their manners, which is fine. I'm not saying necessarily that the person has to be a Muslim. It is perfectly halal and jais to have non-Muslims as friends. You should have non-Muslims as friends. How else will you present Islam? You cannot present Islam if you have no non-Muslim friends. So it is a very important thing to have non-Muslim friends. But have non-Muslim friends in a way where you are influencing them and not vice versa. But then imagine the situation where the friends come into your house and they also find there is a bar in your house. I'm absolutely ashamed to say that there are many Muslim homes in which there is a bar and it is very proudly kept there. I mean, you know, people think it's a sign of their affluence and sign of their high society living that they should have a bar in the house, that they should serve alcohol. They say, "Hum nahi pite." Aapne piye to kya hota? In Islam, if something is haram, then everything to do with it is haram. If alcohol is haram, pork is haram. So you can't say, "I'm not eating pork, but I have a pig farm and I have a pig processing factory." No, you can't do that. You are not allowed to have anything to do with that thing. As far as alcohol is concerned, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam even prohibited you from being in the same room where alcohol is served. Forget about, in the house. So your children's friends come home and there is a bar in your house. Your children's friends come home and there is no hijab in your house. Your children's friends come home and your house and their house or your house and the outside society, there is absolutely no difference. It is just like that. They might think it is very cool and say, "Wow, what great modern parents you have." But that's absolutely stupid, because then the differentiation is gone. The differentiation is gone. The whole point is to have a differentiation. The whole point is to have a positive differentiation where the friend who comes into your house also, if the person does not fit into your environment, that person should feel odd. And the benefit of that feeling odd is either that he will then disappear from the life of your child, which is good, or the person will correct themselves and they will become better people, which is also good, alhamdulillah, both ways. So being relevant has to do with that, is to know your children's friend, is to know the career options that your children have. Because many times we also have this issue of where we try to force children into careers and into, jobs and stuff where they really don't even want to go, they have no talent for it, but we think that this is the thing to do because we don't have any other options. We don't know any other option. There are so many of today. It's actually become an issue because it's become a problem because there are so many choices. The problem today is not lack of choice. The problem today is too many choices. So we don't know how to choose. So therefore, the ability to remain relevant in their lives. Another aspect of remaining relevant, and a very important aspect of remaining relevant, is to be able to translate Islam into a context where the child is capable of practicing, feels comfortable and good about practicing Islam throughout his life. And there again, the benchmark is yourself. If the child sees you praying, the child will pray. If the child sees you with your Islam, practicing Islam in a confident way, the child will practice Islam in a confident way. If the child sees you and you are apologetic and you are hiding under the table, anytime the issue of Islam comes, somebody says Salaam Alaikum to you and you are afraid even to say Alaikum As-Salaam, then that's what the child is going to learn. Then there are two options. Either the child will become like you or the child will hold you in contempt. The child will say Walaikum As-Salaam and he will say, "My father has no backbone." So, I mean, you don't want that. And I've seen this happening also. Children hold their parents in contempt, and when you ask them, why do you have this lack of respect for your parents? They say, "See my parents." What is there to respect? This is how they have no izza for themselves. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. So you don't want to be in that situation either. So it's one of two. So therefore, remaining relevant in the life of your child. This is very, very, very important. I keep on saying this again and again. Anyone who believes that bringing up children has to do with feeding them and clothing them and paying their fees, no, sorry, that's simply not enough. Those are just fundamental things. They don't count. If you don't have them, then it counts, obviously. But obviously everybody has that. But once you have that, then what counts are these value-added things. And remaining relevant in the life of your child is very important. And that, again, takes effort. It takes effort in terms of your own, the effort you make in terms of understanding the realities of the life of your child. And inshallah, preparing yourself for that. The thing to do is also not to look at this as some great musibah on your head. This is something to enjoy, alhamdulillah. As the world is growing, it's something to enjoy. It opens your eyes also. One very easy way of remaining relevant in the life of your children is make them into your teachers. Tell them to teach you. They will teach you. They will teach you with great delight. And that will build a bond between you and them. That's the best way of doing it. Just tell them, I want to understand this thing. Please come sit and explain to me. How does your school thing work? How does this work? How does that work? Right? Show them. They will teach you. They will teach you very happily. And that also builds a bond between you and them. Instead of you trying to learn on your own, which will probably be difficult, and also, you know, you don't want them to feel that you are spying on them or something. No. Tell them, I want to learn the internet. So show me the internet. You know, what must I do? Where should I go? How should I do? I need to search this, search that, and so on and so forth. So involve yourself with them in a way where it's fun, it's you enjoy it, and they become your teachers. Alhamdulillah, that way they also know, then they also learn the boundaries. One of the most important roles of parents is to define boundaries. That's where you come in as a parent. So by all means, be a friend of the child, but also remember, children have only, they have many friends, but they have only two parents. Nobody has more than two parents. So play that role of parenting very seriously. It's not just a matter of being, I'm a friend of the child. No, a friend is fine, but also be a parent of the child, and that's a very critical role to play in terms of becoming and remaining relevant in the life of the children. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.